B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. B75 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 5 o'clock hour. Mike Missinelli Show. 5 o'clock hour is brought to us by Guida Door and Window. They would like to acknowledge the health and safety of our community remains at the forefront of our minds at Guida. Yep, today and together we'll all get through this difficult time and come out of it stronger than ever. Sal Palantonio at 5:15. Of course, big news in the NFL. They got the 14 teams going, and the games will be televised on CBS, the extra games, and also Nickelodeon with a kids commentator sort of commentation.
Yeah, kid friendly, a little different.
kid friendly production.
Yeah, somebody on social media said, obviously, if you can get on Nickelodeon, this is great for the NFL, smart. The one thing that could be tough is, what if there's a serious injury? Which can happen in football. I'm not talking about a concussion or even, you know, a leg's going the wrong way, which we've seen, an ankle going the wrong way.
Yep.
I do wonder, do they cut away and just have, I wonder how they handle
that. That's going to be really interesting.
Yeah.
And because I believe the NFL would not send a separate video crew. They would just have a different maybe producer, and maybe they cut to a different camera.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing I'm wondering about, because I'm sure they're going to get an audience with that. It's the NFL, Nickelodeon. Yeah. There'll be a six-year-old watching maybe for the first time.
Yeah.
Somebody breaks that arm.
Yeah. Anyway, the NFL now will have three wild card teams in the NFC and the AFC, seven playoff teams per conference. Six wild card games will be played in back-to-back triple headers during the wild card weekend, January 9th and 10th. One of the new games, the 4:40 kickoff, will be broadcast on CBS and streamed on CBS All Access. And, of course, there will be the separately produced broadcast on Nickelodeon. NBC and Telemundo will air the Sunday 8:15 p.m. game.
Well, that's what people wanted.
Mm-hmm.
The people wanted the all-day, 2 days of all-day football, and now they get it. Now, I hope that the other leagues get out of their way, because that's one thing that's hurt the NHL and NBA ratings. Just get out of the NFL's way. Do not have games again. Just no games that weekend. Get away from those, I hope.
We are starting anew, though. You know, the statistics that attach to the team that gets a bye and the wild card team that can go all the way. Now, this is a different thing. The number one seed, obviously, is golden. The number two seed gets screwed, because now the number two seed, who was that close to being the number one seed, has to negotiate the wild waters of all these playoff games.
Right, and probably end up in the primetime game, which throws off body clock. Because they're like, you know, the most, if it's Patriots or the two seed, I mean, it won't be with Brady, but if the Bucks are the two seed, they're going to put them into primetime, so that's going to throw off body clock. So.
Yep. Yeah. All right, Sal at 5:15. Megan and Concha Hocken, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Megan.
Hi, Mikey, how are you?
Hello, Meg.
Mikey, I'm calling to see, what are your thoughts on these companies out here that are laying off all their internal office workers, their higher-up guys, but yet they have these laborers out here working in unsafe conditions?
Well, it all depends on what unsafe conditions you're describing. Like, if we're talking about delivery people, then, you know, handling a lot of product and having to doing over 200 deliveries a day, right? So you're crossing paths with a lot of different people, a lot of different packages. Now, as opposed to like people who are landscapers, like they're not associated with anybody except their own people, and they can stay away from their own people. So I don't know. Your company still allows people to go out, but the inner office people are not being paid.
No, the inner office people are. My brother works for a subcontractor for PECO. The name's Infrasource.
Uh-huh.
And they've laid off basically everybody inside, and they're all getting full pay. And they have all these guys out here. They don't have any running water. They have no hand sanitizer. They have no face masks. And these guys, you know, they're working in close contact with each other because, you know, they have to.
You know, it's not right. And you bringing it to light is a good thing. And this is the kind of thing that, like, a service that newspapers can perform, like columnists can make light of this kind of situation and put it out there, because it shouldn't be that way. They should be taking care of their employees. Now, the subject of putting out pay for no work is a touchy subject. If you have deep pockets, you can obviously do it a little better than somebody, some company owner who doesn't have deep pockets. So,
yeah,
like everything has to be weighed individually.
Yeah. It's just dangerous and reckless for everybody out there.
It is. And I can't believe that people would not realize that. And you know,
union too, and they can't get a hold of their rep.
It's ridiculous. I you know, that sounds like collusion to me with somebody who's the head of a union not fighting for his people is getting a backdoor payment from a company.
Yeah, I agree, Mikey.
All right. Well, you hang in there, Megan.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right. Let's go to Joe in Rockland. Joe, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe.
Yeah, hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Joe?
Yeah, I think you, Tyrone, and Natalie will appreciate this one. I'm a retired mailman, and you haven't mentioned the mailmen yet.
They're included in what I'm talking about as far as unsafe conditions. Now, the mail people are essential personnel. They have to get out. They have to get the mail to the people. So what are you not getting?
Yeah, well, I mean, I just feel sorry for them that they're out there, you know, in these kind of conditions, you know. They're going door to door, you know, you don't know what they're touching.
I'm not a
mailman anymore, you know.
Yeah, no, I get it. They should be wearing gloves because what they're touching is, you never know. They should be taking precautions. I hope the Postal Service is providing them with the many gloves. That, you know, you have to change it up. Like this disposable gloves they should be using. I hope they're doing the right thing.
Yeah, because I have a son that works for Comcast, and he's out there every day. But they gave him gloves and sanitizer and everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I know they have waived signatures, right? You don't have to... You can
sign for something.
Yeah, you don't have to sign for something. The post office now, but not like what is FedEx doing that as well? Or like suppose it's you have to sign for it.
Right now, it's just the U.S. Postal Service. Okay. If they go to your house, you can tell them to initial, and they can put it down. No contact. You guys can stay 6 feet apart.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, Joe.
Yeah. All right, hey, Natalie. I just have one thing to say to you. We are and always will be CD.
Oh, right. Cardinal Doherty grad.
I'm wearing my Doherty sweatshirt right now.
Right,
actually.
So you guys are you're representing. Ty's representing. I got a buddy of mine who works for Villanova. Who, by the way, was the person who was sitting next to me at the Greenbelt Marriott when I told that Rolly story yesterday.
Yeah.
Said, what's up with your partner wearing the Rutgers pullover? He said, I'll send some Villanova stuff your way. I go, my man's a Rutgers man.
I'm a Rutgers guy.
He's representing.
Now, I would wear Nova stuff if they sent it. But
really?
I don't, yeah. I'm trying to just go big five heavy, like going forward. I want to be more magnanimous towards some of these schools going forward.
That's a
I
good gesture by you. So what's today about?
Today, I just want to show love to Rutgers. And just yesterday, Rutgers signed the highest rated player they've signed since 2008.
Greg Schiano?
No, basketball.
Oh, basketball.
Yes, a top 50 player. Really? Center, yeah.
Is he from Jersey?
Yes, he is from Jersey. And that's going to be the whole key for Rutgers, not to get to derail it. There's tons of talent in Jersey. If they can keep some of the kids, they'll stay good. If they can't, they won't. Because there's tons of talent. It always has been a heavy basketball talent.
I'm rooting for the Scarlet Knight to make some inroads in the Big Ten.
To make it competitive.
Yeah.
It helps everybody when it's more competitive.
Yeah, I'd love to see the lower rung teams break into the upper echelon.
There's no reason. Rutgers should be a team that makes a tournament every year based on the local talent.
Uh-huh.
They're not necessarily winning that. They should make the tournament every year based on local talent.
Yes.
They should. So, we'll see.
All right. Let's go, Bobito in West Philly. What's up, Bobito?
Mikey Miz, what's good, man?
How are you, buddy?
All right. Doing all right. Hanging inside here. First and foremost, who you got tonight?
What's tonight?
Sixers Bucks. Nah, you gonna watch the
game or not? The Christmas game? I think the Bucks might win this.
Yeah, you gonna watch it or not?
No.
Oh man, I'm gonna have it on Flashback.
No, I don't have any interest in the old game. I really don't. Like more of a throwback game. Like I'll tune in. Like last, you know, the game that happened this year. Yeah, I got no interest.
Well,
what's it gonna lead me to? It's like what's that do for me? There's gonna be no playoffs. The season's wiped out.
Come on, don't say that. What else are you gonna watch before this? They've got
I got Netflix, I got Amazon, I got pay channels, got Law and Order. You know, I can do a lot of things.
Yeah, well, you're right, because they're playing a video game simulation. I don't know who these nerds are that watch a video game simulation.
Yeah, I know that.
It's ridiculous.
The Sixers Rockets game.
Yeah, I got a couple movies for you.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you guys have seen them. One, MacGruber. You ever seen MacGruber?
No.
Oh, my God. It's hilarious. How about
MacGruber? Who's in that?
Yeah. Oh, look it up. I don't know the actor's name. Okay. I don't know it. And then we got one, Black Dynamite. You ever seen that?
No.
Oh, God. You missed
Black Dynamite?
Oh, it's hilarious. Yeah.
Really?
Grab the tree by the roots and rake up the fruits. Oh, it's one of those blaxploitation. It's hilarious.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. All
right. It's a famous, one of the famous, real famous actor in that. I forget his name. And then about these billionaires, man. Did you hear about this punk from Hanneman Hospital?
What?
They closed the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
And he's trying to charge them like $1 million.
Yeah, and somebody graffitied.
Good. Somebody needs to give the guy a stunner.
Yeah, I know.
It's ridiculous.
That's not, some people are out of control.
You know what's funny? I saw you talking about the Thailand King. My girlfriend's from Thailand. This guy, about 6 months ago, he promoted his mistress to be his personal bodyguard.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. My man is unchecked. I want to be known from now on. I think I'm going to change my name on the show. I'll be known as Rama X from this moment point on.
All right. Well, Bobito Heat is signing out.
All right, buddy. I'd like to be known as Rama X. Kind of like it. All right.
Rama X.
What do you think?
The Rama X show?
Rama X. You may address me as Rama X.
Oh, boy. I thought Mister was, you know.
Yeah, but I think really Rama X is much cooler. I'm going to go Rama X. Ooh. Anyway, the NFL has settled their NFL playoff situation, and the man to talk about it, his man has covered the NFL for a lot of years. He does it better than anybody for ESPN. His name is Sal Palantonio. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. Hello, Sal. How are you making out on this Tuesday?
Mike, 5:15 on Tuesday, talking to Mike Missinelli. Things are normal as they can be, but, you know, obviously, we were all supposed to be at the NFL meetings today. My report would have come live from the Breakers Hotel in West Palm Beach, where the meetings were supposed to take place, but they took place on a conference call today. And there's a lot of interesting stuff to go over. The first and foremost is that the chief general counsel for the league, Jeff Pasch, who I know very well, Harvard-trained lawyer, basically said that his expectation and the league's expectation is that there will be an NFL stadium, full NFL stadiums with a full NFL schedule. Now, it's interesting to me that Jeff Pasch was the one who led the conference call and not the commissioner, and I'm wondering if the commissioner is going to hold a conference call with reporters tomorrow.
What do you
elaborate
think?
More fully on that. I'd like to hear from the commissioner about, you know, the deliberations that were taking place, the conversation that was happening among the owners, the difference of opinion that might be going on among the owners, because we're not there. We don't get to talk to them. Normally we would.
Uh-huh.
I would imagine that at MetLife Stadium in North Jersey or at Lincoln Financial Field, or at the L.A. stadium, it's going to be much different from the stadium in Kansas City. You know, I mean, there's so many different variables between now and September, and I am shocked that he came out and said that there's an expectation that they will have a full season with stadiums full in September.
So basically he's just making a guess, because that's about all you can do at this point, right? And he's trying to get the NFL is great in keeping people engaged, right? So the first step was, we're not going to move the draft. Second thing is, we're going to start on time. And everything's hunky-dory in the NFL. I think that's the message they want to put out. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. You know, as you and I discussed a couple of weeks ago, I was in favor of free agency going forward because the players, one, collectively bargained that $400 million windfall. And like you and I, they want their future secured for their families. And so that money was available. And if you put it off, who knows what happens with their bargaining power. So I was in favor of free agency for the players. I'm in favor of the draft going forward. As you and I know, being a professional athlete, being a professional football player is the equivalent of being an astronaut landing on the moon. The odds are very much against you. You have a shot to be an NFL player. These players have worked hard their whole lives. They should have that opportunity. It shouldn't be taken away from them. If it provides a modicum, a little bit of a diversion of entertainment for people with original programming, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't think it should be the number one reason why they're doing this. I mean, it's silly to suggest that in this situation, where doctors and nurses and healthcare workers are on the front line and people are dying every day and families are impacted both financially and from a health perspective, that the NFL would be, you know, thinking that they could provide any kind of, you know, diversion for people. That's silly.
Yeah.
But
What do you think Goodell would say about this if he does do what you suggest?
I would like to hear him say it. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I would like to hear him say it. And I would like to hear him answer questions, right, about what kind of debate is going on.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, it's already clear from what some executives have said that there's not going to be any kind of off-season program at all. That, you know, so-called OTAs and mini camps have already been, you know, that's already, okay, we're not going to do that because you can't open these facilities. You can't.
So he's suggesting
that you have field hospitals in Central Park. You can't open up the Giants facility 11 miles away at East Rutherford, New Jersey, and have players practicing. You can't do that, Michael.
So what he said yesterday is basically training camps will start in August, just like they always start, and the season will start in September, like it always does. You're saying that maybe that's unreasonable?
I'm saying that I would like to hear the discussion that's
okay.
going on about how, you know, what are the contingency plans?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And what's the discussion? I think everybody would.
I think it's overly optimistic.
You're an intelligent guy. You're a lawyer. You understand there's a lot of permutations that go on.
It seems weird that they would commit to that other than just blowing smoke, because we don't know what can what August brings. At this point,
Mike, we don't know what next week's going to bring.
Exactly.
You know, Dr. Fauci said today, you know, it looks like there's some hope that the curve is flattening because some of the mitigation efforts are working in some areas. And in some areas you have, you know, double of the number of people dying. So, I mean, we don't even know what next week is going to. And like I said to you last week, we have to crawl before we can walk, before we can run. You got to convince people it's safe to go to the grocery store before you convince them it's safe to go watch an Eagles game at Lincoln Financial Field.
Do we know anything about what the teams have, what hold they have on the players right now? They're going to miss the minicamps, obviously. So, like, would they do anything virtually for their players?
I mean, yeah. All the players have iPads, and certainly you can hold meetings virtually, and you can certainly, you know, memorize plays and go through that kind of learning curve that you would in a meeting room where coaches get to quiz players about formations.
How about an actual workout, Sal? Have you heard anything along those lines?
Like when they put on those virtual eyeglasses?
Or like they zoom the trainer, put them through paces of some sort.
Sure, I could see that. It's hard to do that.
Some NFL
These NFL Network people are claiming that the teams are putting together this virtual thing where the workouts and stuff for the individual players will be zoomed to them. And then they could maybe do their own workouts.
I got you.
Because they won't be able to do it at the facilities.
All right.
Yeah, there's, so that.
I was thinking more like Jack LaLanne, you know? Like watching Jack LaLanne on TV doing a workout with the football people doing the Jack LaLanne part.
I'm more interested to tell you the truth of how they're going to start the baseball season, when that's going to happen, honestly, you know, because it would be like a model for what the NFL could or could not do, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty clear the NBA is going to have to be in one spot where you have a tournament, you know, like, and maybe you do it at UNLV in Las Vegas where they have the summer league.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have a tournament and you would crown a champion. There would be no fans. It would be a televised event. Okay, so that's the NBA. I don't know what the NHL is going to do because you got to cross international borders with Canada. Tough to do. I don't see how that works. Major League Baseball, we just heard Toronto's shutting down until June. So the Blue Jays can't play their games at home. You have to have neutral sites without fans. And you'd have to see how it works. You know, how would it work? Are players going to get tested on a routine basis? No fans, or you just have coaches and players? Maybe you have one or two cameras, and the guys broadcasting the game are doing it from a studio. That happens all the time. Maybe in Bristol, Connecticut, instead of Carl Ravitch going to a game. But right now you couldn't. Could you even imagine them having a game at Yankee Stadium or Citizens Bank Park?
Nope. Yeah, it's a good point. Let me ask you one quick question on the playoffs now that the NFL has set. And the major question that people had about this, extending the teams and the games, is the watered-down effect. And ESPN just had a story out that I was reading that there would have been one team in the playoffs last year when they added that would have had an 8-8 team.
Who was that
from last year? It would have been. Let me see. I just had it.
The Rams.
There. It would have been the Steelers, and the Steelers were at 8-8. And the Rams at 9-7 would have been the number 7 seeds. Had the format existed last year. So, is that a worry? What are your views on how they set this up?
You know, I'm happy that they've expanded the playoffs. I'm for more playoff teams. I'm for more playoff games. You look at Major League Baseball and, you know, you thin the herd pretty quick and then you get to the teams that have an actual chance to win the World Series based on, you know, their pitching. So, I mean, it's exciting for fans. I would have liked to have seen a play-in game, actually. I think in week 17, I would have liked to have seen a play-in game to decide who makes the playoffs.
That would have been interesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that would have been very interesting. I think the NBA should do that to make the end of the NBA season more interesting. Because the end of the NBA season is basically... Yeah. A moonwalk to Nowheresville from a lot of these teams. But if you had all those teams that weren't in the playoffs do a single elimination game to get into the playoffs, that would really be exciting, an exciting way to end the NBA season.
Yeah, absolutely. I like it. All right, last question. Did you indeed finish Moby Dick from last week?
I did. The whale wins.
Does the whale win? All right,
unfortunately, that's not an appropriate metaphor for the current situation. We don't want the whale to win this time around.
No, we don't. All right, listen, man. Anna Karenina is next for you. So report on that next week.
I was never big on Russian literature. Okay,
tackle it. You got time.
He once, what's that Seinfeld thing? He was going to call it war. What is it?
Testicuff.
Absolutely nothing.
It was Testicuff. Yep. All right, brother. We'll talk.
Testikov, the Russian writer. That's all I know about Russian literature.
I got you, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
All right, there he is, South Powell. And, Seinfeld, I brought Charles Grodin earlier. Tyrone, you should know this. Seinfeld episode had that Charles Grodin show in it.
Yeah.
You remember?
Yeah.
And it involved Kathy Griffin.
It did. What? That was the doll, right?
No, he was going to bring it. It was a hot sauce with Charles Grodin's face on it.
Yeah.
And she brought him a better hot sauce.
Yeah, better one.
That was no good.
Yeah, that's better.
And he wanted to bring it on the Charles Grodin show to show him.
Right. He was like, this was supposed to be the whole bit.
All right. Let's take a break.
I hated that character.
Kathy Griffin?
Yeah, she was so annoying.
Of course she was.
Oh.
All right. We're back after this. Mike Missinelli Show continues.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, let's get the final Twitter poll numbers. That's 533 from one Natalie Eggenhoff. It's brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Get your lawnmower zero turn or any of your small engine tools up and running again in time for spring with Paul B. Moyer and Sons on iParts Warehouse. Visit poweredbymoyer.com today. Nat.
So we have a little bit of a problem. I've been locked out of the Twitter.
Oh.
Yeah, so
I can't.
Yes.
I was back in, but then it must have just kicked me out again when I went to
Switcher. Yeah, let me play the trumpet, so I have to go. There's some stuff happening, so.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
They sound nice.
All right, so
I'm sure the results are great. Wait, all right. Let me see.
Do you have the results, Tyra?
I think if I vote on it, I can see the results.
Yeah, maybe vote on it.
Will that sway
if
it?
If not, I can, it's a landslide. So go ahead, vote and
hold
then.
On, let me see.
It's a landslide? Like 85 to 15?
Something like
hold
that.
On. Okay.
Okay. All right, yeah. So do large corporations owe something to their employees through a pandemic? 85% say yes, 15% say no. That was over 2,400 votes today.
Okay.
So a pretty big.
Yeah.
I still would like, before the show's over, to hear from the 15% though, so that we have a balanced perspective.
We didn't hear from them today. All right, Ron on a cell. Ron, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Ron?
Hey, what's up, Mike?
How you doing, bud?
Hey, Mike, I was calling about the movie Major League, Wesley Snipes.
It's a sports movie more than a comedy.
Right.
I like it.
It was just some funny parts in it. Remember when Wesley Snipes woke up and he was outside of the stadium? He woke up and he started running.
Yeah, it was mildly amusing.
Okay. What about Soul Plane?
Soul Plane's funny.
You thought it was Soul Plane?
Yeah, I thought that was funny.
And Major League. Thought that was funny?
You just brought up Major League.
Not Major League. I was thinking about White Chicks.
White Chicks I haven't seen.
You haven't seen White Chicks?
No, the Wayans brothers, those brothers sometimes annoy me. I don't know what it is. Because I'm more of a classic Wayans guy. Keenan Ivory and the Damon, and the kids are like, they're hanging on the coattails of the originals.
I got you.
Makes any sense, are the brothers funny, Tyrone? When you compare the Keenan Ivory and Damon,
well, Sean's completely unfunny. Marlon's funny sometimes.
All right, there you go. Yeah, you can't replicate the original laying. All right,
I got you. But what about Major Payne though?
Yeah. David Wayans?
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right.
Okay.
It's not top five worthy for me. Steve in Lancaster. Steve, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Steve.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Steve?
Hey, my favorite comedy, and maybe it would be yours too, is John Candy, Dan Aykroyd, The Great Outdoors.
I've only seen that once. I didn't really wow me comedic wise.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, John Candy doesn't get to me that much, to be honest with you.
Yeah, he doesn't have too many other good comedies.
Well, Planes, Trains, Automobiles.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good. It's pretty well done.
Wasn't good, yeah. But, yeah, there's a scene there called, with the Big Bear and the Big 96er.
Dude, you want to get that phone? Get the phone. Yeah. I want to hear who's calling you. Yeah. Pick it up right now. Have a conversation. I want to hear your conversation. Yeah, it's a landline. What's going on?
Caught up.
Was that a landline?
Yeah, I'm shut up. Oh, I got it.
You should answer it. I want to know who was calling you.
PP&L.
Wait, you late on a bill? Is that a bill collector? All right, man. What else you got? Is that it?
Yeah, that was it.
All right. Well, there's a conversation. Would have been more interesting than what he was talking about.
Yeah. The recent movie nominees.
What?
Weak.
What do you got?
No, of the people.
They're okay calls. Movies. I'm talking about movies that really, the guy just emailed me, he said Beverly Hills Cop. Now, Beverly Hills Cop is a drama wrapped within some comedic elements.
It's an action movie.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It's like Eddie Murphy is funny in 48 Hours, but that's not really a comedy.
No.
And so there are parts in Beverly Hills Cop that's funny, but it's a drama, really.
Right. Coming to America, a comedy.
Right.
Beverly Hills Cop, not that it's not good, but it's action. It's more than a comedy.
Right.
I mean, one of his best friends, the premise is like one of his best friends gets murdered, and he's going to basically avenge his best. I mean, that's what the premise is.
Michael Tandino.
Yes, it was. He had German barrel bombs.
That's correct.
Shouldn't have had.
And Jonathan Banks from Breaking Bad was the heavy.
Yes.
Right, Jonathan Banks, his head was shaven in Breaking Bad, was in two of those Eddie Murphy movies.
What was the other one?
He was in 48 Hours.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He was the cop that Gans shot in the hotel.
Yeah.
And he was coming down and he had more bullets and he kept firing. That dude was the madman guy.
Yeah, and Eddie back then had so much pull that he used to have that band that was playing that the Boys Are Back in Town tour with him.
Oh, yeah, the Bus Boys.
Yeah, he had that kind of pull, so he got him in the movie, too.
Like, yeah, the Bus Boys were great.
You want me? You got to put my like, it was kind of, so you got to, he had such pull that he was like, you got to put him on the movie.
Had the best expressions ever, too, when they were playing the song.
Yeah.
Like, their expressions on their face were outstanding.
Yeah, when they were showing,
whatever happened to the Bus Boys?
I don't know. Was it all about Eddie? Did people not love them for themselves? Because it seemed like once Eddie stopped doing stand-up, they stopped touring, and that was that.
I can hear it. The piano.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that was Eddie. That was the opening act when he did the Lyrics and Roll.
Is that right?
Yeah, if you went there, you would get
the Bus Boys with him. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know where he heard the Bus Boys, but he liked them. They were a good band.
They were, and Eddie took care of those guys and took them around the country.
Yes, he did.
Took them all around.
About that, man. 610-632-0975. That's how you climb it, because there's no sound off. So we can squeeze a couple more calls in. Anything you want to talk about? This is like open season, the last 10 minutes of this show. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it is quarter of six. Or modern day people would say it's 5:45. All right, you old school people. What time? Half past.
I don't say half.
Quarter till.
I say quarter of.
Yeah, because your pop said that.
Yeah.
Quarter of. What time is it? Quarter after.
quarter
hour. I say my daughter go, what? What's that? What did you say?
No clue.
The digital world they grew up in.
Yeah, they never have to.
I grew up in digital world.
No, I had to learn.
You barely did.
But you wouldn't like elaborate on like what hour it was, just quarter of or quarter after.
Right, you wouldn't say like quarter of, quarter after. The hour, you're supposed to know the hour. Why don't you know the hour?
Half past. Well, half past what? Throw a number in there for me.
Yeah, that's
my dad would always be like, "Yeah, I'll leave around quarter of."
Okay. That's one of the things that completely you don't need it anymore. Like I know there's like old school people that'll say, "Oh, you need it." Reading, knowing how to tell time, you do not need it anymore.
Except if you have a watch. See, it still applies. Like with a watch, it still applies. Quarter after.
It does. It does.
Not digital.
But people don't use watches to tell time.
It's one of the great conflicts of life. The digital world, digital watch, is unfashionable. Think about it.
Well, that's why when the Apple Watch came out, they had to deal with all these...
no good.
No, the bands they have for those, they have like $1,000. You can spend thousands on those.
I need hands on my watch, man. Yes. I need hands.
See, but
hands make the watch.
That's fine, but I'm still using my phone to tell the time. The watch is to show.
Not me.
Because I'm flossing.
I look at my watch.
Nah, I don't look at them. I'm flossing.
What's simple? The phone's in the pocket. The watch is here.
I go, bip.
No, I don't have a watch on today. Normally, it's just a bip rather than a dig.
I get you, but this generation, they dig all the time.
Let's go to Bernie in Minersville. Bernie, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bernie.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Bernie?
Hey, thanks for all you guys are doing, keeping things moving along. I know these are tough times. Just want to throw
thank you for listening and calling, Bernie. That helps us a lot.
Love the show. Just want to throw this out there. You know, especially in my area, there's a lot of volunteer fire and EMS, providers.
Yes.
And a lot of them rely on fundraisers to keep things going. Mm-hmm. And right now, a lot of their fundraisers are severely impacted, such as bingos, food.
You're right about that. That's a good call.
For example, our fire company does a golf tournament coming up, absolutely going to be probably canceled, but times are tough, and I get that, this is the way things have to be. But when things do to return to normal, just remember there is going to be a financial need out there, and hopefully the people remember we're going to need the support again.
Listen, I'm glad you brought that up, and I know like a lot of fire companies that will send out mailings that will, especially like normally the mailing comes and you don't pay any attention to it. But now when you put it in these terms, people I didn't even think about that. And then they'll send you a little something. So maybe you can think about that.
Yeah, appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Good luck
to you. All right, these guys, take care. Thank you.
Man. Let's go to Mike in Lansdale. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, not much. Before my Corona point, you guys mentioned a couple of Will Ferrell movies. I think he said Old School and Anchorman. What about Step Brothers? Where do you guys put that on?
Ty loves it. Nat loves it. That rises above my stupidity line.
All right,
I'm weird. I like Anchorman, and then I draw a line, and then I like, and I don't go to Dumb and Dumber, and I don't go to that movie, but I'll go Ace Ventura, and I'll draw a line. So I'm weird. Don't take me at all. Like they're more normal. That's a funny movie to most people. Step Brothers.
And my Corona point is I just actually finished my shift for the day. I'm a driver for FedEx.
Oh, okay.
And so,
are they doing right by you?
Yeah, my boss has been great. Gloves, sanitizer, wipes, and there's been drivers too that they don't feel comfortable coming to work, and he's essentially told them, your job will be here when this is over. You got to do what you got to do, take care of your family. But he's been great about it.
Ask you this: Are you taking signatures? Because that seems hazardous.
No. There's no one's allowed to touch our scanner. We don't come into contact with people really at all.
Okay, but now here's the twist: because today I was supposed to get more wine delivered. Need a signature for that. Now what happens there?
Now what you do is you just put a note on the door.
I put a note on the door.
put a note on the door, sign your name. You can even tape, some people tape their, they'll tape their driver's license as like a form of proof that they're 21. But no, you don't have to be there.
So they may have left that today, even though that requires a signature.
They very well may have done that. It depends on the driver. But like I said, if you would just sign something on the door and put it, I mean, you'd be fine.
I did that because I didn't think it was going to work because I've done it before and it didn't work. But the last FedEx driver knew me.
That's pre-pandemic. The other thing is alcohol has become essential because...
Yes.
Essential for people who might, they're not going to, they have to assume everybody is an alcoholic right now because the last thing they want is people having withdrawal symptoms and having to go to hospitals or go to places with alcohol withdrawal when that could be a bed for a person possibly with corona or something more serious. Yeah. That is why when people wonder why in a lot of states alcohol, liquor stores are essential, that's why. And unfortunately in this, you cannot have a bunch of people on withdrawal showing up at hospitals right now. You just can't. It's better to just let them drink.
I don't know what it is, Tyrone. I'm drinking more wine than I used to.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Oh, my God. It's even funnier because I can't see you.
It's good for you, Pop.
Yeah.
Let's go to Joel in Quakertown. Joel, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joel.
Hey, Mike. How y'all doing?
What's up, Joel?
Hey, one thing I wanted to say is that, you know, we've heard a lot about the people in the medical industry and farmers, things like that, and it's rightfully so. Appreciate everything you're doing, but I just want to forget all the factory workers out there that are making sure all those products that we have to have are out there for us.
Well, absolutely, and hopefully, like the factory workers are being protected in some form for, because we don't think about that. We just say we see the product, and it's got to be produced by somebody.
Right. And I work in a dog food factory, and they're doing pretty good by us. There's, you know, they can't have masks and gloves for everybody because, you know, 450 people every day is going to run out, and it's more important for the medical people to have those. But they're taking a lot of precautions.
Well, I mean, are you guys in close quarters working together? Like, how have they done with that?
Well, they've done real good. They've cut down on meetings and things like that. That whole, that meeting could have been an email. Well, now it's an email, so they're doing a lot better at that.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, you keep plugging, Joel, and that's a good point.
Thanks. I appreciate it. I just wanted to say the best comedy movie I ever saw is History of the World Part 1. It's by far the best comedy ever.
Is that a Mel Brooks?
Yeah.
That's old school.
Great. It still stands up.
Yeah, okay, yeah, it's older school. I don't think I've seen that.
I don't think so. But Blazing Saddles.
The oldest school comedy, yeah, that's probably the oldest school comedy I've seen, Blazing Saddles.
And that's, couldn't do it now.
But yeah, Mel Brooks is fantastic. Genius.
Yeah.
Like, Frank in Norristown. Frank, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Frank.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up,
how
Frank?
I appreciate you guys. I just want you to know that.
Thank you,
for
Frank.
All you do. Mike, what I wanted to ask you was, talking about movies or dramas, on the Epics channel, have you watched The Godfather of Harlem?
I started to watch it, and it left me flat.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Last night. It was tremendous, I thought.
I gave it 5-6 episodes, too, and it just didn't move me that much.
No kidding. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Did you hear anything about, Mike, on the switching channels here on the Eagles, about that L.A. Rams wide receiver maybe coming to the Phillies? I mean, the Eagles.
Oh, you're talking about Brandon Cooks?
Yeah, Cooks.
Yeah, I like him, but they're going to have to pay him too much money.
Yeah, too much for a second round.
$15 million guy.
Wow. Well, listen, keep up the good work.
All right, brother, thank you. All right, did you watch The Godfather of Harlem?
No.
No?
No, because at the time, Comcast was having issues with the Epics and Stars, but that's been worked out, so now I can watch it.
Yeah, I gave it a shot, because I expected it to be good, and it just didn't get me any place. All right, we got to wrap it up. Stay tuned for Joe Torty right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, and on NBC Sports Philly, NBA 2K, Sixers versus Rockets, and then stay tuned for the big Christmas game, Sixers and Bucks, where we were really proud of the Sixers. And afterwards, we're saying, NBA title! Stay tuned for that. Thanks, everybody who was involved in the show. Booney back producing remote. Nat, thank you. Ty, nice job again. We'll be in tomorrow with General Knowledge Wednesday. Have a great day, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.